caught or not on. Okay. So, the examples are things that we're going to go over in class. And it just helps if you have them so that you can download them and have them and look at them and run them as I'm doing it. And so it helps if you download these. These are all zip files. So if I click on the examples, okay, they're all zip files. And we went over the PayCalc a little one last time. So you can take a look at that one. This one I'm going to look at is CIS Basic Project. And these are all zipped, so at some point I would download, well, basically up through Chapter 9. Don't bother with those yet because it's a moving target on those. pgrosser.net. I don't use e-learning, mainly because I predate it, mainly because I don't like the username and passwords. I like open access, and because they never let me have all the stuff that I want up there, so it's easier to do it my way. So that's why I use my site. Okay, so those are the examples. If you download them and unzip them, then they're ready to use. Okay? So, I actually have PayCalc, so I'll go over that just quickly since there's several new people. So, PayCalc is the one we looked at. So, what I did, and let me get out of this, is to open Visual Basic. I went to, I'm still trying to get out of here, Project Software, and then Visual Studio 2019. And you should have logged in to K Building Labs or K Labs or something. If you don't see software, that's probably because you didn't log into K-Labs. Okay? You see software? Are you seeing this box that says software? Clicking on Visual Studio 2019. And then you're clicking on, so let me take a picture of this. And then you're clicking on Open a Project or Solution. And my examples I've got out on my E and my F drive, so I'm just going to go to some place called VB Examples and click on PayCalc. And what you want to do is get to this point where it shows the PayCalc and it says Visual Studio over here. Microsoft Visual Studio over here, and click on that, and it actually opens. Okay, so it's now open. Now, at this point, I'm not seeing the form, but if I double-click on that, it will show me the form. It all depends on how I closed it when I was done. And so if I click on this, it will come up and show me the form. Now, when we're making new ones and we want to set up the things on the form, which is what we kind of reviewed on Thursday, You want to have the toolbox, which is over here on the side. You want to have the toolbox open, and if you turn the pin, it will show it. And then you click on Common Controls. And it shows you the controls that you can take over to the form. Now, have either of you had Visual Basic in CIS 120? You had it, maybe? No? Pardon? You haven't?
I haven't, but I do this in my free time.
So. Okay. So you're the one I need to worry about.
Yes.
Okay. So when I created this form, and we'll look at this at the end, creating a form, we'll probably do it. But for now, I'm just going to give you a brief overview of that. The words that I have written here are labels. Okay? So I can drag a label over. So I drag a label over to here and drop it on the form. And then I have properties down here. And in the property area, I click on the second little icon going in for how to organize it. And this is called Label 1, and I can make a difference and call it LBL First or something, whatever name I want to call it. And so that's how I make a label. And then I come down to the text property down here, and I call it whatever. Okay, because I've just dragged over a label, and I'm now calling it whatever. Then I can drag over a text box. So I drag over a text box and put it here, and I give it a name, and I'm going to call it text whatever. Because I'm going to have somebody put something in there. And then I can drag over a button. And a button is one of these things down here. And if I give it a name and call it button whatever, and come down to its text property and write the word whatever there, I've now got a label that I put on, a text box that I put on, and a button that I put on. And I did it very fast. And if you have a few minutes after class, you can hang around and I'll go through it with you again. Okay? So, I've got a label, I've got a text box, and I've got a button that I put on. Now, the nice thing about a button is if I double click on it, it comes up and there is a little thing that it came up with, the button whatever, and I can write my code that I want to do when that button is clicked inside there. And that's what we're going to do today, is look at a lot of examples, and so we're going to end up looking at what I put in those buttons. Okay? And as I said, how to set up a form. I'm around today, actually until around 6-ish. So if people, anybody that has questions can stay and we can go over it. So I'm going to go back and now take out my beautiful things that I added. Okay, and so now I'm back to the original. And periodically you should do a file, save all, just to make sure that you've saved everything that you want. So I did a file save all to save everything. So what I did on this one is I dragged over labels and I made 4 labels. I dragged over text boxes and I made 4 of those. And I dragged over buttons and I made 4 of those. Okay? 4 seemed to be my magic number here. Okay? So, if I want to run this, I click on the start up above. And actually, I'm going to bring up the code before I run it. And so I click on the start up here. And there it is in run mode. Okay? So now I am putting in my name, John Doe. And we'll say that John worked for 40 hours and his pay per hour was 25. And now I'm going to calculate his gross pay. So I click on that button and it comes up with 1,000. So what it did is it went to these boxes. And the first one I said is go to the text pay per hour. So I named that box as text pay per hour. So I said, go to text pay per hour, take the text property, in other words, whatever is written inside it, the text property, multiply it by whatever is in the text hours worked, and the text property of that. So multiply the text that is in those two boxes. What I've got in those two boxes. Multiply them together and make them the text that goes into gross pay. So now gross pay has picked up the answer. So I put the answer out there into gross pay. Can you see all that, by the way, in the back there?
I see why.
Okay. Because I'm looking at this and I probably need new glasses. Okay. So that is how that happens. If I click that button was named Button Calc, and it has the code that I want to execute when Button Calc is clicked. And the way I did that is I double-clicked on the button after I made it. It created the private sub and end sub, and then I put the code inside as to what I wanted to happen when that button was clicked. You look like you have a question.
Oh, no, I'm following.
Okay.
I'm happy.
Good, all right. I didn't recognize the face.
Never seen it.
Okay, so now I've got the next button over, which I would have double-clicked on that, and it was named Button Close, well, two over actually. It was named Button Close, so two over. And all I did was put in Me Close, which means close the form. Close the current form that you're sitting in. Then I double-clicked on the clear, and it made Button Clear. And I took all of the four fields that have data and said clear them. So I have the name of the field, dot clear, which means do the clear function on those. Okay, and the clear function is behind the scenes in VB, and so it will clear all of those. Okay? Then on the last one, I decided to do the calculate, but introduce some new stuff. So I set up some work areas, some variables. Okay? Every language lets you set up memory variables where you can store information. I'm just setting up memory variables here. And the first one, I said, dim work pay per hour as double, which is another way of saying decimal. I can say decimal if I want to. And then I said, comma, work hours worked as double, so it set up another memory variable as a decimal. And then I did one on another line. I could have put a comma and put them all on one line. But I did another one down below where I said, dim work gross pay is double. So I've now set up three memory variables. Okay? And if you're doing a lot of work, then it makes sense to set up a memory variable to keep answers in. On this one, obviously I did it at the beginning, did the calculate without using a memory variable, and it worked fine. So these are just another way of doing it.
So I end up with these three memory variables. And then I said, okay, go out to the farm and get the text hours worked on text and convert it to double and store it in one of those work areas. Things out on the farm are in string or text. They're not numbers. So I just wanted to make sure that it was a number before I converted it. So I said, convert it to double. C double means convert to double. And store it in work hours worked. Then go out and get whatever they put in paper hour. Convert that to double. And put that in paper hour. And then multiply those two work areas together. Now, when I'm referring to fields on the farm, they have a lot of properties, and so I have to always, when I refer to them, tell them what property I'm talking about, which is what the dot text does. And property is basic text rather, basically content, what's in the field. With a work area, they're not going to have a load of properties. A work area is just an area of memory that I set up. And so I can just take and put it in that area of memory and not worry about a property because it's just a memory area to store something. And it's set up to store a number that is decimal. Okay? So I just do the calculation and store that in my third work area, which is called work gross pay. Okay? Then I want to put out something in the gross pay. And this time I said I wanted to take the gross pay and I wanted to convert it to string so that I can put in the dollar sign. So if I do click on calc or click on calculate, it puts it in, and by adding the dollar sign, it's no longer a number. So it converts it to string and converts it to currency in the string. So I'm seeing the dollar sign there and the comma and all that good stuff. Decimal points are part of numbers, but commas and dollar signs are not. So I converted it to a string and put in the decimal point and the dollar sign. So that was a lot of work to multiply two numbers together. But anyway, questions? Yeah?
The two string, and then you do the, in parentheses, end quotes, C. Does the C mean currency?
Yes.
And so in the book, there must be other options.
Yeah, and I don't remember what they are. Okay. I'd have to go look them up, too.
I don't have the book yet, so I'm waiting for it, but I just thought...
As I mentioned in the book, I don't have a problem with you using an earlier version because they all seem to run pretty much the same at an introductory level, and that's what we're at. Mm-hmm. The big differences tend to handle a little more on the complex area, and the getting in... The getting in the first thing is different from 19 back to 17 and 15. That part is different. But that's about the only thing different. And you can save about $100 if you go and buy an older version of the book as opposed to a new version of the book. And I don't have a problem with that. If we run into something that is unique to 19, I've got a book I can stick into the Xerox. Okay? All right, so that is how that works. So now I'm going to close this, which is the little red box up there. We'll stop it, and I've closed it. Okay. And then I'm going to close the solution. Okay, and this one pops up, I'll open a project. Igor and I were talking about Visual Studio, and we wish they'd stop changing it because it seems to get worse every time they change it. before we used to just go in and do a file open. Now this comes up and we get to choose a box. And for some reason, I like menus. So, okay, I'm going to choose a project or a solution. And this time, I'm going to go to my examples and include CIS basic project, because that was the next one that we were looking at. So I'm choosing CIS basic project, and I'm going to go down until I get this one, which is the Visual Studio solution, and I'm going to click on that, double click on it, and it opens. And apparently I had a lot of things not up when I was playing with this. Okay, the original part of this didn't have this stuff on the side. I was playing around with it and I added the stuff on the side. But the original doesn't have it. Okay, so I'm going to take this out for a minute and then we'll put it in again. Okay, so I just took that out. Okay, so now what I have is I wanted to put an image on here. And the image is in a box. And the box is called a picture box. Okay, so what I did when I did this is I dragged a picture box over here. And I made the picture box the size that I wanted to make it. Okay, so I dragged over a picture box. Now, if I look at the picture box and I go in under image, okay, so I'm looking at the properties of the picture box and I want to put an image in this picture box, so I'm going to click on image. Okay. And once I've clicked on image, then three little dots come up to the side there. When I click next to image, I get three little dots there. And I click on those three little dots, and it comes up. So I want to put a particular image on here. So it's a local resource. So I'm going to click on local resource and let it do an import. So I'm going to say import. And I actually have the image on my eDrive someplace. There it is. So CISB is the image I want, the upside down version. So I clicked on the image. I could have found it anywhere on my computer. I could have found it anywhere. I just put it on the same disk that I was going to be looking at. And it now has incorporated the image. So I did an import. It's brought in the image. And then when I click OK, it now has a drawing of bitmap that tells it's got a drawing that we just added to it, and the image is now part of it. Okay, so when I close it, the image closes with it. When I open it, it finds it. It's essentially got the image stored in a place where it can bring it out when I need it. Okay. So that's the picture box. So now I'm going to run this. And I'm going to go in here and click on one of the buttons so that I bring up the code. So when I run this, which is hit the green diamond or green triangle next to start. Okay. And again, when I first did it, it didn't have that thing on the side. So now I've got two buttons, welcome and exit. Okay. When I click welcome, it will execute the code up here. So this is the button I named, button welcome. And so it will click on that. Okay? So what I've got there is when I click on welcome, two things happen. it shows a message box with welcome in it. Okay, and you can see it up there saying message box dot show welcome. And so it shows the message box. And when I click OK on that, it has now showed the word welcome that I couldn't really see very well. But that word was there, but it was hidden. So I now said label welcome, and if I look, there is a label called welcome. And the visibility of it is now true. But when I set it up, the visibility was not true. Okay, so I made this visible when I clicked on the button. And then the button exit is simply the me close. Okay, so now if I go back and look at the form, so I'm going to click on the stop it, and go back and look at the design of the form, there's the spot. And if you look here, visible is false. So I put on a label, that's a label. I put up a label called label welcome. And I gave it a property, visible is false. So one of the properties is visible, and I set it to false. Okay. So when I run this, it will not show. Okay, so when I run this, notice the welcome isn't there. Okay, it was there when I designed it. It's not there now because I had visible set to false. As soon as I hit the welcome button, I can now see it. And you can see it a little bit behind this. And if I move that over, you can see it. So the welcome is now there because I said visible is now equal to true. So I changed the visibility property of that label and made it true, and so it shows. And the text message show brought up the message box. The message box brings everything to a grinding halt. Okay, so if there was stuff to do on this, I can't do it because I'm now locked until I get rid of this message box. So it has brought processing to a grinding halt. There is no real processing to do on this, so it doesn't have any impact. But if I had things to do, I couldn't do them until I hit the OK and make that go away. Okay? So for any of you that looked at JavaScript, it's like the prompt in JavaScript. When you put up a prompt, you can't do anything. Okay? And so again, the code on that welcome, whoops, on the button I should have clicked. The code on the button is label welcome, set its visibility to true. And also message box show means I get a pop-up that says welcome. Questions? And again, there's the label called welcome. And its visibility is set to false. Questions? You're not doing your job, guys. You're supposed to be asking questions. Okay, so now I'm going to close this solution. Save changes, don't save. And now it wants me to open, or I want to open another project or solution. So I'm going to go back to the list, and the one that is in the beginning of chapter 3, and the first couple of chapters are just fast reads because they don't give you a lot of information. So in chapter 3, the next one that comes up is InfoCalc Project.
Okay.
So I've got it unzipped on my C drive, so I'm going to say on my E drive rather, open, and I'm going to go to my E drive and VB examples and intro calc project. Was that what it was? I hope so.
Yes.
Yes. Not that I didn't believe you.
I know. Someday.
And then we click and we bring up the one that's Microsoft Visual Studio Solution. And it opens. And again, the form isn't there. Okay. So this is another one where I have dragged over a bunch of text boxes, labels, and buttons. Okay, and I'm doing a bunch of things here. So if I double click on any one of them, it brings up the code. And so there's the code that I wrote. And there is code for each click event, for each button. Each button has a click event. Okay? So it handles button re-click, handles button exit click, handles button calculate inches click. It's handling something with every click. Okay? So I'm going to run it. Okay, so I'm going to put in a name, Susan. Notice that when I hit the tab, we drop down to the wrong box. I wanted to go across. And we'll talk about how to fix that. So I want to go across, so I'm going to have to take my cursor and come up here and put in her name. Okay, and then it says greet. Well, in fact, I put in both a first and a last name. But if you look up here, it's only using one box. So the hello is not going to use both the first and the last name that I put in. Okay, it's only using one box. So I'm saying greet, and it's doing three things. It put out a label that I had set up that had nothing in it. So I had a label over here called Label Greet. And it put hello concatenated with Susan there. Then I had a text box and it put hello Susan there as well. And then I had a message box and it put hello Susan there as well. Okay? So now when I hit OK, the cursor goes back to the text name box. Because notice where it says textname.focus? Okay. This is putting, dot focus means where to put the cursor. So I have put the cursor back in the first box. Okay. So now I look and the next one is exit. Well, that's way down at the bottom. Notice it also says Alt plus X will also exit. So that's another way to exit. Then the next thing is says calculate. And it wants me to put in the number of feet. So I'll put in 5. And when I say calculate, it says there are 12 inches in a foot and gives me the 60. So that's what, when I click on that calculate button, I got several things to happen. So the first thing is it said, well, let's look at this. note that text inches is read-only, so I can display the result, but the user can't change. So where would you guess the read-only is going to be? Say I can't change it. Where's read-only going to be? It's going to be a property. And so that means that when I describe this box, I gave it a property that was read-only. Okay? So if you go out and you look at that box, we'll stop this for a minute and go back. And this box, and notice it's a little gray. And the read-only is now set to true. So I can do a lot of things in these properties that make the form appear different. So if I have a text box that I don't want the user to put anything into, I make it a read-only. That means I can put something into it in my code, but somebody that is sitting and filling in the form can't put anything into that box. Okay? So, and again, notice that it's a light shade of gray. So that's set as a read-only. Okay, while we're at it, since we're out of here for a minute, here's the tab index. And the tab index gets set as I create the form. So if I put some things at the beginning of the form, and then I go down to the bottom of the form, the tab index gets checked by one. But then if I say, oh, wait a minute, I forgot something, and I go back to the beginning of the form, it's not going to have a consistent tab index. Okay? So if we look at these, this field right here has a tab index of 0. The next field over has a tab index of 1. The next field over has a tab index of 16. So that's why when I hit the tab, it didn't go to this box, because this box is 16. So I got to do a lot of tabbing around before I'm going to go to this box. So I obviously decided to put this box up later, after I had done a bunch of stuff. And so the tab index is off. If I look here, that's a tab index of 4, that's a tab index of 3, rather. Okay? So that's a tab index of 3. So what you want to do is, if you want to change the tab indexes, you can go in and start at the beginning and go 0, 1, 2, 3, and keep changing them to make the tab indexes work. Now, when you hit the tab, it actually goes to something where the user can fit in things. Notice it doesn't tab to buttons, and it doesn't tab to labels. It tabs to places where people can put things in.
Didn't the greet button have a tab index?
The which button? Greet, yes. But it still won't go, it won't stop there. Interestingly enough, okay, when I run this, and I've always wondered why they did it that way, notice it's at the 1, it skipped to 0.
Yeah.
And if I say tab, it goes to that one. Then if I say tab again, it goes, actually it did go to the button.
Okay.
It's the labels it doesn't go to, I guess. Then it went all the way down there. Then it went back up to here. Then it went over here. Then it went to here, even though I can't enter something. Then it went to there. Then it went to there, there, there. And then tab. It's done. That was the last one. And yeah, it did go. I forgot that it went to buttons as well. seems to me it should have just gone to text boxes. I'd like it better if it went to text boxes. So I guess that's wishful thinking on my part. I don't think it should go to tab buttons. But anyway, you can then go in and change the tab index and organize this so it goes the places you want it to go. So, again, let's look at the code and start running this. And again, the tab index got in my way. Okay, so now I've put names in there. When I do the greet, I get hello, David, a bunch of different ways. When I put in the 5, I get that there are 60 inches and there are 12 inches in a foot. Okay, this was a label, but there wasn't anything in the label, and so it was an empty spot until I put something in the label. So over here, I put something in and I called it a string note, just to kind of differentiate it from the kind of label. So I called it a string notes, and I said, put in the string note, there are 12 inches and a foot. And so that little area had that name, and I put something into it. Okay. Oh, I take it back, sorry. String note was then put into text note, so string note was a work area. And I can see that dim string note is string. That means it's a work area. Now, could I have named that label string note? Yes. So what I said was perfectly doable. I just wasn't being careful enough when I looked. I could have named a label string note. There's nothing that says I can't name a label that. And then I could have put and come down here and said there are 12 inches and a foot. Put that directly into textnote.txt. Okay. Then I have a date, and notice that a date has number signs on either side of it. So if I click date, that's the date that comes up. And then I said show full name, and it showed David Williams. So here is when I apparently decided I wanted a whole name, so I went back and added that box, and that's why it wasn't in the right tab sequence, is I went in and added that wrong. And then Alt-X is another way of exiting. So Alt-X is another way of exiting. Whoops. It's not what I wanted. And here, if you click here, this shows all of my different fields. And what I wanted to show you was this. Notice I named this text note. But in fact, it's a label. Okay. And I left it that way mainly to make this point, and then I forgot to make the point. Okay, so this is a little label over here, and it doesn't have anything in it, so it doesn't show until I click on it, and then it shows that, in fact, it is a label. So I can go down and look at the list of all of the fields that I have there, and I find text note, and I say, wait a minute, it's called text note, and it's a label. It works fine. But I was stupid. I should have called it label note. Okay? but I called a text note. And
it works fine. It's not a problem. But if I were doing this and this was going to go into production, I'd go back and change that to label note. Okay? Because it's a label, not a text box. A text box shows that kind of square box thing for data entry. A label can be empty very easily just by not putting anything in it. And I want to insert a picture of that. Okay. So that was a label text note, but it is a label. Okay, so again, I should change that to label for clarity's purpose, but that's for people. Computer doesn't care what I call it. The text doesn't mean anything to it. Okay? So it's fine that I called it text note, but if I want to put this into production, I should make it so that the next person that picks it up and has to fix it doesn't say, "What was she doing?" Okay. Questions? Okay. The next one. If I go back, is called Bear Calc Project. So I'm going to say File, Close Solution, Open a New Project or Solution, and it is VAR Calc Project. So I'm clicking on that and opening it. Okay, and this is just a bunch of different things that you can do. And just a bunch of different command kind of things that I'm putting in. Okay. Up at the top, I have got something called Go Option. So right below the public class, I've got something called Dim Go Option. And this means that this is available, it's global. And it's available in any sub. It's global. So anything that is defined up there, it's a class level variable. Okay? That means it's available everywhere. Whereas if I had defined a variable down in a subroutine, it's local and available only to that subroutine. Okay? So it's only available to that subroutine. So then I've got a variety of subroutines. One of them I'm defining a string as empty. So I said dim string major as a string. So I'm setting up a variable and I called it string major. And I'm making that string empty. So I'm saying set it up as a string, make the string empty. Okay? So I'm setting it up as a string and making the string empty so it doesn't have anything in it. Then I said, okay, I've got a box on the form called text major. I want to put the string major into that. And then I want to show it. So if I run this routine, I start out and there's string major. Now notice I can't put anything in that, so that was set to what? Since I can't type in it, what was it set to?
False.
No? Read only.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was set to read only, so that I could not put any entries in there. And so, it's set to read only.
and I click on Set Major. Let me just make that go away. Okay, so I'm clicking on Set Major. And Set Major took and put what I defined in String Major into the text box. Only nothing went into the text box because there was nothing to put in. It was empty. Then I said, Show String Major, and it shows a blank box because there's nothing in it. It was set to empty. Things have come to a grinding halt, though, and that's the point here, is things have come to a grinding halt. There's more code that should be executed, but it can't be executed as long as the message box is open. The message box has pulled everything to a halt. So now, as soon as I say OK, then it fills in and sets the string major to CIS, puts CIS in the text box, and puts out the message box showing CIS. Okay, but it couldn't do that until I had closed down the message box. The message box brings things to a halt, and then I can work with them. Okay? The next one is a problem. And I've zeroed it all out. Okay? Remove the quotes to see the problem. Can't remove the quotes while it's running, of course not. Well, I can leave that as a quote. Okay, so as soon as I do that, first of all, it doesn't know what string major is. It's giving me the curly line under here, which tells me it doesn't know what string major is. I use string major there, but I can't use it down here because it's defined as local. So when I define string major up here, it was local, which means it could only be used in that subroutine. So when I come down here, it doesn't recognize string major. If I put string major up here, then string major would become global and it would recognize it. Okay? So if I change where I define string major, it would work. But as it is now, it wouldn't work. Okay? So if I come over here and take and say dim string major as string, okay, and put it up there, then I now, only I can't spell dim, okay, I've now defined, there we go, is everybody happy? Yes. So now I've defined string major as a string, and now notice the curly lines have gone away, and if I run this, and I click on problem, it shows string major. Okay, I clicked on problem, and it shows computer info sys as in what should be in string major. The string major got defined as computer info sys, and I put that into the text box. So now it's working. But that's because at this point I have made this global. And since it's global or class level, then it is available to all of the subroutines. Yes, no, maybe? Okay, so now show one puts out programming because that was defined up above. So this is just going back and showing the global. And show two says networking because, again,
GV option was defined up above as strength, so it's global, so I'm now just assigning something to it and showing it, and it's fine.
Then the numbers just let you play. With math. So if I put in a 12 and a 2 and I add, I get 14, subtract, I get 10, multiply, I get 24, and divide, I get 6. The big difference is with the add, because the plus can be used as a concatenate, you can't just add or it will concatenate. So you have to go in there and change to double or change to decimal or change to integer or do some kind of thing to make it a know that it's a number so that it adds instead of concatenates. Okay. So if I get out of this, and I go down and I put the comment, which is a single quote. A single quote turns it into a comment. And now I run it. And I put in 12 and 2. And I say add, I get 122 because it's concatenated. Okay, instead of adding the two fields together, it concatenated them. So I'm getting the 122. Okay, then I did another add further down where I could have started out and said, okay, dim double first is a work area double, dim double second is a work area double, put 15 in double first, put 5 in double second. I could have done that on the same line as I did a different way. I could have just had the equal. Instead, what I'm doing is setting up a constant. And constant doesn't have to have it set up on a different line. Could be different lines, right? It could have been done the same way this is. But I set it up as a constant. And constant is something you use to define something you don't plan to change. So if you have a field that you don't plan to change, like there are 12 months in a year, okay? And you need that fact for somehow, okay? Months in a year would be a good constant because it's always going to be 12, okay? Hopefully your pay is not a constant. You're hopefully going to have an increase in your pay, so that shouldn't be a constant field. Okay? And these are just doing conversions. Okay, so if I have 12.78 and I convert it to an integer, it's 13, so it rounds up. Okay, so I converted it to an integer and I took the original text. I have a C-I-N-T on it to convert it to an integer. If I had, well, let me actually take a picture of that. If I had a 12.22 and I convert it, 0.722. it's now a 12. Okay, so it does the round on the obvious thing of half. Then I can convert a number to a string. I can convert a string to a string, which presumably is already a string. And I can convert to currency. So those are just a bunch of different converts that you can do. Questions. Okay. I think we've hit saturation. I'm looking and the next thing starts up some new stuff. The first days, it's hard to talk for the full an hour and 15 minutes. It's hard for you to listen. It's not actually, I can talk forever. It's the listening and following. And you get to saturation level. So I think we've hit saturation level. We'll finish up those last three and actually start looking at if statements on Thursday, I think. So I think we'll finish up those last three and decisions on Thursday. So, if you have questions, stay around because it's another 10 or 12 minutes and we can answer them.